All right, Kelly. So you hired Tina Fey, Rachel Dratch, and Amy Poehler all at their first audition.
Yeah, and actually we Amy was writing her book, and she was like, "Do you guys, I think you showed me at one point the audition sheet." And I was like, "Yeah, my wife has that where we misspelled Amy's name." So
Oh.
that's actually in her book. But yeah, they were all in the same audition.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Sheehan, host of Enjoy Illinois Let's Go. Today, we're heading to Chicago, a city that has been making the world laugh for decades. We'll talk about the stages where icons like Chris Farley, Tina Fey, Steve Carell, Mike Myers, Jane Lynch, Keegan-Michael Key, and so many others figured out who they were as comedic actors. And here's the best part. Chicago's comedy scene isn't just a hall of fame. It's alive, it's happening right now, and visitors can be part of it. You can see the next generation of stars on stage any night of the week. You can also take a class, grab a drink, and maybe even hang out with some of the performers afterwards. Are you ready for a few laughs? Okay, let's go. Chicago has given us some of the funniest, sharpest, most fearless performers in the history of comedy, and for decades, one man has been right at the center of it all. Kelly Leonard spent more than 30 years at Second City, rising from dishwasher, yes, dishwasher, to executive producer, nurturing the careers of people whose names you definitely know. He's also an author, a teacher, and a genuine philosopher of the art of improv. Kelly, welcome to Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Well, we want to just go right back to the beginning. How did you get your start in the entertainment business?
So I was at Lake Forest College, small liberal arts college here, northern suburbs, and I come from a theater family. My dad worked here at WGN Radio. He reviewed theater. My mom was in theater, and I knew that's kind of what I wanted to do. And I graduated and I had some informational interviews, and one of them was with a guy named Bernie Solins, who was the co-founder of Second City. Now, he had sold Second City a few years earlier, but he was starting a new theater, and he's like, "Look, I'll hire you," which was great. He goes, "But the theater isn't starting in a few months, so why don't I try to get you a job at Second City?" Of course, I assumed I would walk in as the director of marketing. No,
Obviously, yes.
not at all what happened. I got escorted. This is 1988. In the fall to the back bar at the Second City. In those days, you could smoke in the theater. So just imagine that sticky floor from the stale beer. Chris Farley was in the touring company, so he comes whizzing by. Mike Myers and Bonnie Hunt are on the main stage. Jane Lynch is at the Second City ETC, our sister theater. But none of these people are famous, right? It's just like these personalities and these other folks. And the other guy who got hired that day to wash dishes at Second City was a guy named Jon Favreau, who would go on to direct many films that you have seen, including Iron Man.
So, from dishwasher to executive producer, that's quite the climb. I can't imagine that that happens very often. So, how does that actually happen?
I mean, like, I should not be used as a roadmap for anyone because it's so random. But yeah, I became the producer of Second City in 1992. My first cast included Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, and Amy Sedaris. I hired Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, Rachel Dratch, Keegan-Michael Key, Cecily Strong, Aidy Bryant. I mean, like, you work at a place like Second City, so many incredible talented people come through. I think I was the third producer in the history of the Second City, and it was very random. The woman who was the producer before me had gotten sick. There really wasn't anyone sort of in place. And I showed up at time. I got along with people and was very lucky to be here with all that talent, because what we were then able to do is create some really cutting edge shows. And I recall, like, Adam McKay, who many of you will know as the director of The Big Short, and all those movies with Will Ferrell. Adam was an early hire of mine and someone who was very interested in experimenting with the art form. And we were able to do that really successfully here. We had a show called Pinata Full of Bees in 1995. That was a huge hit that then led Adam to become the head writer of Saturday Night Live. And so that, and I certainly knew about the lineage of people from Second City who would go on to Saturday Night Live. And then you become part of that sort of circle that happens, every year, every few years, and you start to figure out like, oh no, this isn't just about the thing we're doing here. It's what we're doing is exporting comedic innovation all over the world. It's not that there isn't great comedy in New York and LA. There absolutely is, but there's nothing like a second city in those places, because this is the home, this is the school. Over 1,000 people are taking classes right now in this building to hopefully do this work. And then the fact that over that period of time, we've gone on to also work with Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies, teaching their people to be more collaborative, more ensemble based, more creative, all those things. And the work we've done in television and film and new media and all that, it's a very special place, and it's really unique. There's not another place like it in the world.
Second City is now 67 years old. What is it about this place and this city that keeps producing comedy at the highest level?
Uniquely, a thing about Chicago is that it has produced a variety of art forms, improvisation, the blues, house music, spoken word. These are all art forms that are Chicago-based, all of which are unownable. You can't own the blues. You can't own an improvisation. What you're doing is taking collaboratively, you're taking work and putting it together. And yes, that will hopefully lead you to your fame and your riches. But normally that's when you leave. That's when you get the gig in LA or New York. But when you're in Chicago, you're just doing this work for the sake of the art. And it is across the city. Yes, improv, like Second City is a, we've got whatever, 80,000 square feet here at North and Wells, all these theaters, classrooms, I'll do that. But also across the city, there's so many other people doing improv in bars, and there's great music, and there's other kinds of great art going on all over these neighborhoods. It's not just like in downtown. There's no Broadway. There's a downtown theater district, but there's also another 200 theaters that you can find tucked into every neighborhood in the city. So the ability to sort of like live in a and experience a city that has this much art and this much, these many young people sort of trying to do the next thing. I've just, I've traveled the world. I've been lucky enough to do that, and I've never found a place like Chicago that is able to offer that.
One of my first trips to Chicago with my college friends was specifically to see the Second City comedy show. It is definitely a tourist attraction in a lot of ways. Do you have any idea how many people have come through over the years? I mean, definitely thousands, millions.
No, I have no idea the number. It's millions, though. Because we're also never closed. So like, well, I think what, Christmas and Christmas Eve, that's it. And the shows run into each other. When we create a new show, it never closes. It's always sort of this creative process that we have, just iterates comedy every single night. So it's kind of amazing. And the other thing I'll say about that is unique to Second City is we do primarily original work. So the casts on stage write an original show, perform that show for like 7 or 8 months, then the next cast comes in and does the same thing. And we are primarily sold out every night. So I don't know another art form that exists that is that popular and always original. Like no one is going to the next Stones concert to hear them just do songs from their latest album. They want to hear the hits. And we have greatest hits shows, but that's not the prime time attraction at Second City. It is the current original review. And so I think that there's something just highly unique about our ability to be successful, draw locals, draw tourists. And also the other thing that's fun about a place like Second City is you never know who else is going to show up. Sometimes it's Jason Sudeikis and Jack McBrayer, Cecily Strong, or A.D. Bryant, or some one of our alums. But also, like, I remember I was here one night where the musician Paul Simon was in town. He came to the show, And we have a two-act show that he saw, but we have a third act that's improvised. And so we asked him, hey, do you want to come join the cast for the improv set? He's like, well, what does that mean? We're like, you could do anything you want. You could sing a couple songs. They'll improvise based on that. The director of the show happened to be here, and he's a musician. He had a really good guitar. And so Paul Simon comes on stage. The crowd is
Yeah.
like, this is like a Tuesday night. They're not like,
Losing
no one
it.
recognizes.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And then he does Me and Julio down by the schoolyard, and the cast improvises based on it. And they did The Sound of Silence, and the cast improvised based on it. And it's, I mean, and that's a kind of, that's the history of Second City. That happens all the time. There's always sort of interesting people who will come by and do the improv set. Sometimes it's rock musicians, sometimes it's movie stars. Because it's improvised, that portion of the show, no one will ever experience that. You and your fellow 300 people just saw this thing that will never be repeated, that was only for that time. And what a gift you get to carry through your life that you just happened to be there that night.
Chris Farley,
Yeah.
what was it like having someone like that in the room?
A very large toddler. It was my first experience of a person who was so incredible on stage that audiences would come just to see him. So I think I mentioned earlier that no one's famous when they work here, and that's true. But every once in a while, and my understanding, John Belushi was like this as well, that when John joined the cast, people found out and they were like, you got to go see this guy. And that was very much a thing with Chris. So I was on staff, and then, one of the shows that got developed while I was on staff, Bob Odenkirk, who people know from Breaking Bad, among other things. Bob had been a writer at Saturday Night Live, but the director of the show was his friend and sort of said, do you want to come back and do a Second City show? So he actually quit SNL to come back and be in the cast with Chris Farley. And Bob, seeing what Chris could do, because Chris wasn't a writer per se, much more of a performer. So Bob was the guy who wrote the Matt Foley sketch where Chris lived in a van down by the river. So,
Classic.
I was here the night that that first got improvised,
Oh my gosh.
and saw the audience lose their mind, which
Yes.
is what they did every time that sketch. And by the way, that sketch, the way they performed it and improvised it the first night was almost identical to the way it was done on when it went to Saturday Night Live. It just was so funny and so creative, and it was weird sort of seeing someone in the cast become a kind of celebrity. Now that has its downside as well, right? I mean, Chris had a really hard time figuring out how to sort of balance all that stuff in his life. But he was also just the sweetest guy in the world, and immensely talented.
Hilarious for sure. Another one of my all-time faves, Steve Carell. You can't beat Michael Scott in The Office, in my mind. Do you have any stories about working with Steve Carell?
Back then, if you knew him, he was a very quiet guy off stage, not someone who at all resembles the sort of wacky characters that he played. And I remember Adam McKay was understudying Stephen Colbert in the main stage show, and Adam and I were really close as friends. Steve was my friend, but not like the same way. And I remember after the show, Adam was like, that is maybe the best actor and the best improviser I've ever worked with. And I don't know that I would have known that just from watching, the shows I was seeing. And of course, Steve ended up being in almost all of Adam's films.
All right, Kelly. So you hired Tina Fey, Rachel Dratch, and Amy Poehler all at their first audition.
Yeah, and actually Amy was writing her book. And she was like, do you guys, I think you showed me at one point the audition sheet. And I was like, yeah, my wife has that where we misspelled Amy's name. So
Oh.
that's actually in her book. But yeah, they were all in the same audition.
What were some of your favorite hangout spots, like before the shows, after the shows, with all your Second City friends?
Okay. So if you come to Second City after the show, you need to go to the Old Town Ale House, which is across the street on North Avenue, a legendary dive. It is the quintessential dive bar. Corcoran's is the bar across the street that used to be a famous folk club. When Tina Fey was in the cast, she doesn't drink, so she wouldn't go to any of the bars. And Scott Adsit, who was Pete in 30 Rock, was also in that cast. We used to always go to the Golden Apple Diner on Lincoln. So it's a 24-hour diner. You can go in there at 11 p.m. in the evening or midnight, get some pancakes, and you're going to see a bunch of artists there working on whatever they're working on. So the city is just, there's so many great spots to hit in the city, but those are just a few of my favorites.
Well, thanks for telling us the hotspots. We appreciate it. So you took what Second City teaches and carried it way outside the walls of theater. How has improv shown up in your life in ways that might surprise some people?
Well, I found myself at Quantico helping to teach FBI negotiators how to improvise.
Now, how did that work? I mean, what was the benefit of that? Just.
So here's what happened. During COVID, one of the things that I do a lot of public speaking about improv and where we do it. And a lot of things I talk about is improv and the art of negotiation, because there's actually been books written about this where people have discovered, like, well, yeah, to be a good negotiator, you've got to be able to give and take and improvise and do all that. And I during COVID, I did a thing for Harvard, a little talk. And 2 years later, a guru teacher at the FBI National Academy contacted Second City and was like kind of embarrassed. Like, he's like, I don't want you to make fun of me, but I think that potentially you could be helpful with our recruits in terms of teaching them improv as a way to make them better hostage negotiators. And so we didn't laugh at him. We were intrigued, and he invited us to Quantico for a week, and we ended up teaching a bunch of classes. And that then led to work that we continue to do to this day with the University of Chicago Crime Lab. So we work with a lot of law enforcement because, you know, they're not necessarily taught how to improvise. Yet, if you think about what they have to do in their jobs, it is like size up the situation, try to make sense of it, work with the people who are there. So it has been so gratifying because you got to know when I don't normally do a lot of the teaching. I've done more now, but like stepping in front of these like really experienced law enforcement people, like, here's the Second City guys. You're like, oh no, they're gonna hate it. But they don't. They get it and they love it and it's fun.
Kelly, we have one more tradition before we let you go, and we reserve this for our most special guests. It's the Land of Lincoln Lightning Round. This is our quick fire segment designed to do one thing: help our listeners start planning their Illinois itinerary right now in real time from someone who knows this state as well as anyone. So we're looking for your hot takes, and since you know a thing or two about improv, we're pretty confident that you can handle it. You ready? Okay. What part of Illinois do you feel the strongest connection to?
Oh, for me, Chicago, the city of Chicago, and then I grew up on the North Shore in Kenilworth, so I'd say the North Shore is my second home of the John Hughes films.
Yes. Okay. Best Illinois city to visit?
To me, Chicago and Springfield, you know, we're you know, so those are probably the two you got to hit up.
Yeah. What do you like about Springfield? We know what you like about Chicago.
Yeah, the museum. I mean, being it's the capital, right? And so, you know, there's that history there, and it's the other. I don't think people understand Chicago is such a unique thing inside Illinois, but Illinois is much better represented by Springfield in terms of our connection to like farming communities and rural communities and that sort of thing. It's like we're a big state that contains multitudes, and we're all about that.
What's your favorite special occasion restaurant?
I mean, I would call Lou Malnati's my all occasion restaurant. My godfather was Lou Malnati.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we moved from Chicago, I'm the youngest of six boys. My dad got a job here at WGN Radio. I had a godfather, but he was based in Boston. When we used to go to Lou Malnati's all the time, and when Lou found out I didn't have a godfather who was local, he said, "I'm now your godfather." So it, for me, it's still that's the place for my own family. That's like, yeah, the place you got to go.
Top hidden gem in the state.
The Jazz Showcase. So this is a jazz club that has been in many different locations over time, but has always been the place where the best jazz artists play. I saw Buddy Rich play there. I saw Chet Baker play there. Like it's the best, and it's not anything that sort of shows up as, you know, the top tourist attractions, but you will not regret having gone there. It's such a unique experience, and just like if the walls could speak, right? In that kind of place.
All right, favorite Illinois artist or entertainer?
I'll do a non-Second City person to keep this interesting, but it would probably be Buddy Guy. So who also has a club, Buddy Guy's Legends. He is blues royalty. I think he's in his 90s. He still performs. You will see him on occasion take his electric guitar out into the street, outside of his club while he's drinking a cognac. And we'll do that. But Buddy Guy is a legend, but there's so many because Chicago, of course, is just rife with incredible artists.
For sure. Favorite Illinois splurge?
Alinea. Alinea is a Michelin-starred restaurant. The chef is Grant Achatz, whose own story is amazing. It's almost Shakespearean because he almost lost his entire sense of taste to cancer. And was able to sort of battle that and still create. You go for a dinner at Alinea, and you know there's going to be fog machines. There's going to be like you're gonna move. They're gonna make you move somewhere, get up, maybe go to the kitchen, whatever. It is just the most unique dining experience you could ever have.
Okay, is there a book, movie, or TV show that you think really captures Illinois' spirit?
Well, I mentioned the John Hughes films. I think that certainly speaks to a lot, whether it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But I think the thing that Hughes captured was both as a kid who grew up in the North Shore of Chicago, what that experience was like, but also the fact that just when you grew up in the North Shore of Chicago, you were really all about the city. So that's why Ferris Bueller, when he comes to the Cubs game and the parade and all that, it just rings itself as true because that's the thing, you know, it's our city. And he was doing that back when the Cubs were terrible, and the Cubs are no longer terrible. So,
Kelly, what is something that a first-time Illinois visitor simply cannot miss?
just think about Chicago is not one thing, and that's the thing I love about this place, which is like you've got the neighborhoods, you've got the food, you've got the art, you've got the sports team. You're like, and with food, it's like we mentioned a Michelin restaurant, and we mentioned the Wiener Circle. That's
Right.
Chicago. You want
Yeah.
to be able to have both those things because all of them are equally fun.
There's so much variety and there's so much fun to be had in Chicago for
Yeah.
sure. Well, Kelly Leonard, thank you so much. This has been an absolute blast. For anybody who wants to experience Chicago comedy for themselves, recommend starting at secondcity.com. You can buy tickets, shows, training center, and more. Kelly, thank you for being here on Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thanks, Kitty.
Chicago comedy fans are very familiar with the Annoyance Theater. For more than three decades, this Lakeview institution has been a launching pad for some of the biggest names in American comedy and a place where audience members can still catch lightning in a bottle on any given night. Jennifer Eslin is the owner and executive producer of Annoyance Theater. Jennifer, welcome to Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thank you so much.
So, for visitors who've never heard of The Annoyance, give us the 30-second version. What is this place?
The Annoyance Theater is a place where we create original comedy. Everything that we do here is original. So the people that are actually writing the shows are the same people that are doing the shows. And it can be anything from a musical to stand-up to a solo show, sketch comedy. We do everything comedy. And we have shows 7 nights a week. You can see up to 30 different shows in a week at The Annoyance. So there's always something for everyone.
That's great. So walk us through the door. I know you're there right now, but if someone is visiting Chicago for the first time and they walk into Annoyance, what do they find?
Well, they will find when they first come in the door a big staircase that they can choose to go up, or they can go straight ahead to take the elevator up to the second floor. We're on the second floor and we have a huge bar. That's the first thing that you'll see, which is I'm in right now. We overlook Belmont Avenue. We have some great windows and it's really light and beautiful. And then down the long hallway behind me, we have two theaters. There's a small theater that seats 40 people, and that's where we do our more experimental work. It's our black box theater. And we can change the seating. So sometimes you'll have seating, you'll have the show in front of you. Sometimes you'll be seated around in a circle and the show will happen in the middle. Lots of different ways. Then just down the hall from that, we have our cabaret theater. That seats around 100 people. And there are cabaret tables so you can bring your drinks and have food. And those are for our bigger shows that have like musicals, sketch comedy, things like that, larger cast shows.
All right, Jennifer, how does The Annoyance fit into the larger Chicago comedy ecosystem? I know we've got Second City and IO. Does The Annoyance have its own lane, so to speak?
You know what? We do. And it's kind of an interesting story because The Annoyance and another theater called IO and Second City are sort of known as like the big three improv institutions in Chicago. And we do all work together. We each have sort of our focus. So The Annoyance is known for the more sort of original, edgy comedy. The Second City does sketch comedy and it's for a more tourist crowd. And IO does a lot of long form improv. They're known for the Herald. And we all work together. And the great thing about all having all three of us here is that it makes Chicago an amazing place to come for people who are looking to see great comedy or learn to be great comedians. So we do have a lot of people that come to Chicago specifically to study with The Annoyance and the other institutions as well.
That's what we like, the comedy tourism for sure.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about some of the famous people who've performed at The Annoyance. Jane Lynch, Andy Richter, Matt Walsh. You can probably list off a whole list of names. What are some of the stories and what do you remember about some of these folks?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Jane and Andy. They actually were w in one of our very first shows, which was the Real Live Brady Bunch. Jane was Mrs. Brady, Carol, and Andy was Mr. Brady. And we way back then we played this game that was sort of a mean game where all the people that were pr regularly part of the Annoyance Ensemble, we were doing a thing where you tried to make each other cry, and the last person at the end of the game won when they were the one who hadn't cried yet, and Jane won.
Oh my goodness. Andy cried before Jane.
Yeah, can you believe it? And another great thing that happened more recently, Adi Bryant, who went on to do Saturday Night Live, and Connor O'Malley, who has a new film out right now, they actually met at The Annoyance. And so we were fortunate to get to sort of watch them fall in love and go off to New York together. It was great.
The alumni list really kind of reads like a who's who of American comedy. What is it like having seen those careers begin?
So it's always interesting to see when a new group of students comes in and you sort of look at them and try to figure out, you know, who's going to be the one that's going to go and we're going to see a lot of. And there's, you know, there are always those that you can just tell like, oh, that person's got something going on. And it's really fun to watch that grow. And it's also fun to see people who come in and just ha have all they know is they want to do comedy, but then they start to sort of make that more specific to themselves and decide how they want to do their comedy. And it's great to get to watch that.
Yeah, for sure. So, what about now? Can you tell us about a current performer who has the potential to be a big star?
Well, I don't like to single anyone out to make others not feel like they might be the one, but I can tell you that you know, there's two women who just recently left but are still coming back and doing shows regularly. Are the women of Gag Reflex, and that's Chelsea Matkins and Amitha Rao. And both have now got television projects and film projects and are doing fantastically. So we're so proud of them and so happy that they're still coming back to do shows here when they want to try to develop new material.
That's great. So, what shows are running now at The Annoyance that visitors should know about?
So we have some shows that are sort of our stable shows that run all the time, and those are on the weekends. We have a show called Hitch Cocktails that's been running for, I think, 15 years now. And it's a improvised show where the improvisers create on the spot, based on an audience suggestion, a Hitchcock type movie, as if you were watching it, a Hitchcock movie. The twist with that is that anytime one of them offers another one of them a drink, they have to drink it. So they may start out very sober and end up not so sober. And it's pretty fun to watch. They're excellent at bringing Hitchcock to life. We also have our signature improv show, which is called Trigger Happy, and that's on Saturday nights. That's a show that has a sort of secret language to it. So as the improvisers are creating the show and moving through it, things happen that you can't understand why they actually happen. Like they might all fall down at the exact same time and you don't know what told them to do that. Or they'll start a transition to a new, whole new scene and it just seems like it happens by magic. You wouldn't guess that it was improvised because it looks very beautiful and as if it were choreographed, but everything is improvised.
Nice. That sounds very interesting and got to keep the audience on their toes too. Keep them guessing.
Completely. Yeah.
So the official name is the Annoyance Theater and Bar. Why is the
Yes.
bar part significant?
Well, when we were building this space, you know, we've had about seven spaces in different areas around Chicago, and we always wanted one where people could come and have it be their neighborhood bar as well as a place to see comedy. It's always been a very important thing to us that when people finish their show, they can come out and hang out with their audience. And so, if you come to hang out at the bar, you might hang out with the people that you just saw in a show or people who live in the neighborhood. And we wanted the bar just to be a really comfortable place to have a drink and laugh with your friends. And if you want to see a show, great. And if you don't want to see a show tonight, you can just have a drink. We wanted it to be a bar and not a theater lobby.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. Can a visitor who's never done improv actually take class at the Annoyance?
For sure. We have classes all throughout the week. We have different levels of classes. So you start, we call it AP1 and it goes through AP5. And the first level of classes is very much a survey of sort of what it's like to improvise in Chicago. So you get an idea of all the different places that teach and sort of their philosophy of it, as well as our philosophy. And then as you go through, you start working on scenes and building to the point where you're actually able to, if you want to, create a whole show out of improvisation.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you've been busy outside the theater as well. You have a film that is streaming. Will you tell us
Yeah.
about it and where is it streaming?
It's streaming on Tubi and on Amazon, and it's called Everything Fun You Could Possibly Do in Aledo, Illinois. And it was great. I actually got to shoot it on location in Aledo, Illinois, which is a fantastic town. There's only about 3,200 people in the population of the town, but every year they have this rhubarb fest on the first weekend of June that swells the town to something around like 30,000 people. People come from all over. And we actually shot the film during Rhubarb Fest, which was such a blast. And it's just the story of two women who were friends in high school and they reunite at their 30th reunion and find a list that they had made when they were kids of everything fun you could do in Aledo and decide to do the list. And it's a really lovely little film and hope people watch it.
That's so cool. And we love to see Aledo getting the love and the Rhubarb Festival getting some love too. Is it like the actual festival, like everyone who was there, they like signed a waiver and they're in it or stage,
Many
part of their
people, yes.
stage?
So there's a scene where my character Brenda had to jump up on the stage in the middle of Rhubarb Fest and sort of get in front of everybody and crash the stage. So all of those people that were up at Rhubarb Fest that day and sat in the audience did end up signing a release form.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, let's wrap things up with some practical advice for our out-of-town listeners who want to come to the Annoyance. Should they go online to buy tickets or do you encourage walk-ins? What's the best thing to do?
We encourage walk-ins because we're always a great place to go if you're just looking for some comedy. There's always something playing in both our different theaters. We also do have online sales, and our entire show schedule is available at theannoyance.com. It's easy to see what's playing when, and you can check ahead on the calendar.
All right, Jennifer, this has been a great conversation, a place where the next generation of great comedians are figuring it out in real time, and anyone can walk in off the street and be part of it. Thank you so much for your time joining us on Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Enjoy Illinois Let's Go, produced by the Illinois Office of Tourism. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and pretty much wherever you find your favorite podcasts. When you're ready to start exploring, head to enjoyillinois.com, your one-stop shop for trip inspiration, destination guides, and much more. I'm your host, Katie Sheehan, and we hope to see you soon here in the land of Lincoln.